Judy has
Good morning.
joined.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
We will begin with the Lashem Yehud. Lashem Yehud Kud Shabri Hu Ishkinte Bit Kilu Urchimu Utkilu Utkilu Urchibu. Leakta Lashem Yudhe Bavate. The Yehud Ashalim Beshem Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah. Lasok Torah Mitzvah. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kananei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kananeihu. Today we will study the third Aliyah of Parashat Tzav. This begins at Leviticus chapter 7, verse 11, and completes at verse 38. This is a total of 28 verses. The number 28 connects to the Hebrew word koach, which translates as power or strength. Let's see how accurate the number relationship of the verses is to the energy of the verses. Verse 11. Wizot Torat Zevach Ashlamim Asher Yakriv La Donai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yoahe Dawanu Heyo Im Al Toda Yakrivenu Vehi Kriv Al Zevach Atoda Halot Matzot Belulot Vashemen Urkike Matzot Meshuchim Vashemen Besolet Murbeket Halot Belulo Vashemen Al Halot Lechem Chametz Yachriv Karbano Al Zevach Todat Shelamav Vehikriv Mimenu Echad Mikol Karban Teruma La Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Hazorek et dam hashlamim lo yihye uvsar zevach todat shelamav beyom karbano yeakil lo yaniach mimenu ad boker ve'im neder O Nedava Zevach Karbano Biyom Hachrivo Et Zivcho Yeakelu Mimacharat V'hanotar Mimenu Yeakel V'hanotar Mi besar hazavach bayom hashlishi baish yisaref v'im he'akol ye'akel mi besar zevach shelamav bayom hashlishi lo yerate hamachriv oto lo yechashev lo pigul yihye v'hanefesh ha'okelet mimenu awona taisa v'chabasar asher yigav v'kol kamei lo yeakel baesh sisare sahabasar kol kahor yokal basar viha nefesh asher tokal basar mizevach hashlamim asher ladonai yohe wahe adanu yo yohe dawanu he yo witumato ala wenichreta hanefesh hahi meamecha wenefesh kitiga Bekol tamei betumat Adam o bivhema temeya o bekol sheketz tamei viakal mi besar sevach hashlamim asher ladonai yohe wahe adanu yo Yo ahe da wanu he yo, wanik rita ha nefesh ahi me ameha. Vaida ber adonai yo he wahe adanu yo, yo ahe da wanu he yo, el moshe le mor. Daber el b'nei Yisrael, le'mor kochei lev, shor u'kesev, v'ez lo tokeilu. V'chei lev nevela, v'chei lev terefa, ye'ase l'kol melacha. V'yakol lo tochluhu, ki kol lo kel chelev min habehema, asher yakriv mimena ishe le'adonai, yo he wahe adanu yo, yo ahe da wanu he yo. Venikrata hanefesh haokelet me'amecha v'kol dam lo tochlu v'kol moshvotehem la'af v'la'behema kol nefesh asher tokal Kol dam v'nichrita ha'nefesh ha'hi me'amecha V'idaber Adonai yohe wahe adanu yo Yohe dawanu heyo El Moshe le'mor Daber el b'nei Yisrael le'mor Abakriv et deva shelamav ladonai yohe wahe adanu yo yohe dawanu heyo yavi yo et karbano ladonai yohe wahe adanu yo Yo ahe da wanu he yo, mezevach shelabav, yadav teviena et ishe adonai, yo he wahe adanu yo,
yo ahe
da wanu he yo, et hachelev al hechaze yevienu. Et hechaze lechanif oto tenufa lifne Adonai yohe wahe adanu yo yohe dawanu heyo v'tiktir Kohen et Hachelev. Amizbeach Wihaya. Heche Azel Aharon Ubanav. Viet Shok Hayamin Tit Nu Tiruma. Lakohen Mizivche Shalmechem. Amakriv et Dam Hashlamim. Viet Hachelev. Mi b'nei acharon lo tihies shok hayamin lemana. Ki et haze hatenupa, we et shok ha'ateruma lechachti me'et. B'nei Yisrael mizivche shalmehem. We attain otam le'acharon hakohen uvanav lachak olam me'et b'nei Yisrael. Zot mishchat acharon u'mishchat vanav me'ishe Adonai yohei wahei adanu yo. Yo ahe dawanu heyo. Yom hi krivotam lekahen ladonai. Yo he wahe adanu yo. Yo ahe dawanu heyo. Asher tiva adonai. Yo he wahe adanu yo. Yo ahe dawanu heyo. Latet lahem bayo mashko. Otam me et b'nei Yisrael. Ukat olam bedorotam. Zot hatorah la ola. La mincha vela chata'at. Bela asham bela miluim uzevach hashlamim asher tziwa adonai yohei wahei adanu yo yohei dawanu heyo et moshe behar sinai biyom Soto et b'nei Yisrael ha'kriv et karbenechem. La Adonai yohei wahei adanu yo yohei dawanu heyo. B'midbar Sinai. That's the completion of the Hebrew reading. And now for the English translation. Chapter 7, beginning with verse 11. And this is the Torah of the peace offering, which he shall bring to Hashem. The actual typical translation is the law of the peace offering, but the Hebrew says Torah. And we need to understand empirically how Torah is law, but much more than law. Verse 12. If he is bringing it as a thanksgiving offering, he shall offer, along with the thanksgiving offering, unleavened loaves mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and scalded flour mixed with oil. Unleavened loaves, unleavened wafers, and scalded flour, three different aspects of bread but really it's three different aspects of matzah. And notice that we've changed the word from a peace offering to a thanksgiving offering, but they are somewhat similar.
Has joined.
Verse 13. Along with the loaves of leavened bread, he shall bring his offering along with his thanksgiving peace offering. So we're talking about two different offerings. One is a thanksgiving offering and one is a peace offering. But they are connected. It's teaching us the strength of appreciation, thankfulness, gratitude. Without that, you cannot find peace. You cannot find serenity. Verse 14. And he shall bring from it one out of each offering as a separation for Hashem. The Kohen who dashes the blood of the peace offering, it shall be his. And again, we have this connection where the Kohen, the priest, who is actually doing the meditation and the Kavanah, directing where the offering is going, which level of Hashem. He receives the physical item as his sustenance. Verse 15, and the flesh of his thanksgiving peace offering shall be eaten on the day it is offered up. He shall not leave any of it over until the morning. Can you imagine on Pesach, when there's 600,000 offerings from 600,000 different families, they're not actually peace offerings. They're not Thanksgiving peace offerings. But there's a Hagiga offering. But imagine that they are receiving all that food, and it must be eaten on that day, or if it's not eaten on that day, it has to be burned. It has to go up on the altar, be burned on the offer. Verse 16. But if his sacrifice is a vow or a voluntary donation on the day he offers up his sacrifice, it may be, and on the next day, whatever is left over from it may be eaten. However, whatever is left over from the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt in fire. And if any of the flesh of his peace offering is to be eaten on the third day, it shall not be accepted. It shall not count for the one who offers it. It shall be rejected. And the person who eats of it shall bear his sin. It's pretty important for the Kohen to keep track of when he receives these different levels. Now, do you get a sense of why people really don't appreciate leftover food? And the flesh that touches anything unclean shall not be eaten. It shall be burned in fire. But regarding the flesh, anyone who is clean may eat flesh. A person who eats the flesh of a peace offering of Hashem, while his uncleanness is upon him, that soul shall be cut off from its people. The cut off from its people, that's the word, Hebrew word karet. And it is the most, one of the most strongest negative effects . And where is this idea? Well, what is the cutoff? What is the karet from? It's someone who is eating a peace offering because he is unclean. He is tameh. He's impure. And understand, what is a peace offering? A peace offering is a mechanism to bring people that are in dispute together, to reunify them. And if the person eating that energy of unification is tamei, he's corrupting the process of bringing people together. And therefore, the karet is valid. Verse 21. And a person who touches anything unclean, whether uncleanness from a human or an unclean animal, or any unclean, abominable creature, and then eats of the flesh of a peace offering to Hashem, that soul shall be karet from its people. As you will learn, many people don't learn this because they allow the rabbis and their hechshers to tell them what's kosher and what's not. But if you delve into learning what is kosher, you can't have salads with insect parts. You can't have eating something that has an insect that has become attached to it. Many times you don't know it because the insect gets washed away. But this verse is telling you, if that food has ever touched an insect, it's unclean. Now, it's unclean for us at the level of bringing it into this offering. But how much does it cause us to lose connection to Hashem when we eat a salad that has insect parts attached to the salad, to the lettuce? And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, you shall not eat any fat of an ox, sheep, or goat. Why should we not eat fat? One of the things people don't realize is fat is a flavor enhancer. Too much fat is what it's being described, but it's saying any fat of an ox, sheep, or goat. Anytime you're eating meat, you have to remove the fat from the animal. The fat of carrion and the fat of an animal with a fatal disease or injury may be used for any work, but you shall not eat it. You know what the difference between kosher meat and glatt kosher meat? The animal, after it was shechted, after it was slaughtered in the kosher manner, They inspect the animal's lungs to see if there was any disease. If there was the disease, it's no longer kosher. Many people don't know that. Many people don't, again, depend upon the rabbi who's got the mark, the shet, the heksher, to determine what is kosher and what is glad kosher for them. Verse 25. For anyone who eats fat of animals from which sacrifices are brought as fire offerings to Hashem, the soul who eats shall be cut off karet from its people. Now, I find this translation from its people. I didn't notice it before, but I find it interesting. Why doesn't it say karet from the children of Israel? Verse 26. And you shall not eat any blood in any of your dwelling places, whether from birds or from animals. We know that. Most of us know that.
Has joined.
Any person who eats any blood, that soul shall be karet from its people. And Hashem spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, anyone who brings his peace offering to Hashem shall bring his sacrifice to Hashem from his peace offering. Does that verse make any sense to you? Remember, the peace offering has a Thanksgiving offering attached to it. Verse 30. His own hand shall bring the fire offerings of Hashem, the fat on the breast. He shall bring it, the breast, to wave it as a waving before Hashem. This is known as the wave offering. It's significant. If you'll remember, the Levites were waved by Moshe and Aaron in order to create the holiness, not to create, but to reveal the holiness as they were being exchanged for the firstborn. And you shall give the right thigh as an elevation offering to the Kohen from your peace offering. Of the sons of Aaron who offers up the blood of the peace offering and the fat, he shall have the right thigh as a portion. For I have taken the breast of the waving and the thigh of the elevation from the children of Israel, from their peace offerings, and I have given them to Aaron the Kohen and to his sons as an eternal statute from the children of Israel. You see the difference between the children of Israel, B'nai Israel, and from its people? Verse 35. This is Aaron's anointment and his son's anointment from the fire offerings of Hashem on the day that he brought them near to be Kohanim for the Lord, for Hashem. When Hashem commanded to give them on the day that he anointed them from the children of Israel, an eternal statute for their generations. This is the Torah for the burnt offering, for the meal offering, and for the sin offering, and for the guilt offering, and for the investitures, and for the peace offering. What do you think this verse is doing? It's indicating that if it's anything's not clear, follow the pattern, because it applies to all of these different offerings. They're all following similar patterns, some with details and some in a general sense, and this is a general sense. Verse 38. Which Hashem commanded Moses on Mount Sinai, on the day he commanded the children of Israel to offer up their sacrifices for Hashem in the Sinai desert. Do you understand the difference between Har Sinai and Midaber Sinai? What's the difference between a mountain and a desert? So having read the verses today, did you get a sense of how the word koach, strength or power, relates to these particular verses? The answer is I did, and it comes from the concept that you are what you eat, and understanding the holiness of what you eat is what gives you the strength, the power. That's the end of the class. While you're unmuting yourself, I'll remind you that in a half hour, we will be connecting to the Nasi I believe it's for the month of Tevet. Three other classes today. We have an 11 o'clock class. All these times are West Coast times. An 11 o'clock class for continuing our study of Sefer Yehoshua. I hope it will complete it today. The 4:30 class will be a deep Zohar class. And the evening class, the 7 p.m. class, we're not going to do the Tikkuni Zohar. We're going to do some sections that relate to Pesach from the Zohar. Does anybody have any questions?
I do.
Go ahead.
In the aspect of the descent of the sparks of sanity that come down during the different offerings, with the sin offering, it kind of commenced with God creating the light at the beginning of the Torah, and the guilt offering, did it descend into the realm of Satan after Adam's sin? And then I'm trying to compare that to the peace offerings, how these different sparks came and descended, you know, the different offerings, but I wasn't too clear about the peace offering, how it did with that.
Well, last night we didn't really discuss the peace offering in the idea. We were talking about the guilt offering and the sin offering. The peace offering, the peace offering is literally brought to bring peace between people who are in dispute.
Okay.
After you've had an argument with your husband and you go to make up, that's when you would bring a peace offering.
So is that when the sparks of sanity would be elevated during that time period when that's happening?
I'm not sure what you mean the sparks are being elevated.
Well, like I think in the Talmud, it talks about the different sparks, how they descended, and it kind of compared the sin offering and the gift offering, you know, like it
yes.
when it was talking about the sin, when it was talking about the sin offering, it said something about it commenced with God creating light at the beginning of the Torah, and it talked about the sin sparks being elevated at that time, and then it talked about the guilt offering when it the sparks descended into the realm of Satan after Adam's sin. And so it was bringing up different things. Like, have I ever caught about the peace offering, how these sparks, you know, how they descended or how it relates to that offering?
The peace offering is not elevating sparks.
Okay.
The peace offering is healing what the conflict between people.
Okay, I see.
There's a difference between healing and elevating sparks.
Okay.
Part of our job is to elevate sparks. And there are different levels of these sparks. That's what we read last night in the Ariz class. There are sparks that come direct, that come from the breaking of the vessels in the world of chaos, the world of Tohu.
Mm-hmm.
When those sparks went into the Klipa, they went to a deeper level. When there's a conflict between people, there's an exchange of soul parts between the people. It's not that there's a spark that needs to be elevated. It just needs to be returned to the person where the conflict existed. And that's the peace offering. There's a guilt offering that represents someone who's done a sin against another person. But it doesn't go as deep into the klipot as the vessels from the world of the sparks from the world of Tohu. It's
Hannah.
Basically describing different levels of hierarchy. Yes, Hannah.
I'm wondering if the first line of the Anabu Koach isn't rectification for that in order to bring it to our consciousness because of the gematria being, what is it, 506 or 560?
506.
506, okay. Unconditional love.
Right.
Which would be loving everyone. Love thy neighbor as thyself, you know. Love God first. I don't know. I see that as unconditional love within, and you say it every day, just about when we do the Anabu Koach, as building that consciousness within us every time we say the Anabu Koach, especially that first line.
Well, the first line is connecting to chesed, which chesed translates as loving kindness. And that's what the first line is building. It's
okay.
Bringing it to our consciousness. The additional statement, ahavat hinam, unconditional love that I make, is part of your helping your consciousness grow to be ahavta l'reacha kamocha. But the ahavta l'reacha kamocha, is it chesed, or is it up in the above the world level we're in? It's a question I'm asking for you to contemplate.
Well, to me, it has to start as a potential here to be able to rise.
Contemplate it. Don't be reactive by answering the first thought that comes to you. That may be true, but contemplation means contemplation.
Okay. Thank
Any
you.
Other questions? Thank you. Any other questions?
Okay. Yeah, to get back to what we're talking about, the different offerings, I'm trying to get clarity about it. So basically in studying these different offerings, it's to help recapture, basically helping our souls, in other words, being rescued from the clutches of spiritual negative forces that have fallen and being recaptured. Is that when we actually read these actual portions, it's like we're doing that, basically?
That's correct.
Okay, I'm just trying to get a clarity of it. Thank you.
You're welcome. We will be speaking again in about 15 minutes. So, everyone, have a beautiful afternoon, beautiful day. Hopefully, you'll make the connection for the taking control of the month, which I believe is Tibet, but don't. My memory is not as strong as I want it to be this morning. So, shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom gadol.
Thank you.